Well, it's 5 o'clock. It's the hard line without the Corby, but here is Donnie Dew as we have a beautiful set of double D's today on Davey's birthday. Dave and Donovan. And because it's Dave's birthday, a very special birthday guest.
Yeah. Well, two things. Two things before we get to E! News. One, thanks to Adam Romo and Eatsies, because they brought the customary cookie cake. This a dual birthday cake because it is dedicated to both Bob and myself, because my birthday is today and Bob's is tomorrow.
Bob?
Yes.
We were so close to being birthday buddies.
That was our dream.
Would anybody guess that I'm one day older than Bob? He feels like he's my dad.
Okay.
In some ways.
And the other part of this special birthday
treat. You look at least one day younger than me.
True.
So.
It's only because of your magnificent beard.
And he agreed.
That's true. The other part, not only do we have Donnie in place of Corby, but we have Sabbatical Gordo.
Yes. Sabbatical Gordo filling in for regular Gordo for the Rant Revival.
Yeah, we had not communicated. We figured since Corby wasn't here and you're on sabbatical that we wouldn't have the rant today. But then Crossing Guard Sabbatical Gordo walks in.
He forgot he was on sabbatical.
He had been riding around on his motorcycle and just ended up here at the station.
Yeah, he put down a stop sign and he walked in. It's great. Yeah. He's helping all the kids across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were journaling for a month.
I am, Bob. I'm going to journal about this today. What it means to see friends when you're off of work.
Those headphones.
Yay. It's the worst.
Don't help the situation.
I know.
All right, let's do the open.
Yeah. Brought to you by
Highland Homes and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is, the birthday boy himself, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Gordon.
Yes. I hope I don't smell too sweaty.
I can't smell you.
It is very hot on a motorcycle today.
All I smell is my Eatsy's cookie cake breath.
Oh, so, nice.
It's a lovely breath.
You all sugared up and diabetes'd up.
I'm so...
like Cornholio.
I'm so on edge right now.
Twitching.
Not edging, but on edge.
Yeah.
And you are welcome to stay as long as you want.
Oh, thank you. What a kind offer.
I don't know if anybody has seen this, but disturbing images from Minnesota last night as Lionel Richie had a medical episode on stage. So it was the opening night of his tour.
Opening night, and he's already having the medical episode?
Yeah, it's his tour with Earth, Wind, and Fire. So it's kind of a combo platter of Lionel's solo stuff and Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff. And so video is going around showing the 77-year-old sitting on stage as he's performing Dancing on the Ceiling. And so he tells the crowd...
Now it's sitting on the non-ceiling.
He tells the crowd that he felt dizzy during the performance. This is at the Grand Casino Arena in Minnesota. So he says, what I've learned about my years being in the business, when you feel dizzy, sit your ass down. And when you feel strange about yourself, sit your ass down. He says, I want you to know.
Go into the business to find that out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he says, I want you to know that's the first time in the history of Dancing on the Ceiling I've done it sitting down. That's a bad sign.
Oh, no.
So he tries to continue. He does another song, Three Times a Lady, while sitting at the piano.
Aunts.
And
it wasn't Buckwheat's version
ties.
Of it.
Fetines a matey.
No, it was a lady.
Fetines a matey.
Genius.
So after he performs Fetines a matey, they go to intermission. They're like, we'll be back in just a moment. And then after the intermission, the sax player Dino comes out and says...
Hey.
Yeah,
he plays yakety sax.
Getting too old for this.
He does the Lethal Weapon riff. And then he says, Lionel is not feeling well. He won't be able to continue the show. Thank you for your patience and understanding. And they just ended it right there.
So they don't have an understudy, right?
Huh?
We get money back from this, right?
I would hope so. I would hope so. But then he was later taken to the hospital there in St. Paul.
Way to go, Donnie.
I don't know. Even if Earth, Wind, and Fire performs, I'm paying for both, and I'd like at least half of it.
Couldn't the rest of Earth, Wind, and Fire just go through their hits without Lionel?
I thought Wind and Fire both died.
They're on... Those aren't separate people. It's the name of the group.
I thought Wind was on sabbatical.
Which one was Lionel?
Crossing Guard Wind
showed up.
Lionel's
not in Earth, Wind, and Fire. Lionel Richie.
You should explain. I was dressed kind of like a crossing guard because of the motorcycle gear I wear is like in high vis.
That's what you do on summer vacation. That's what you told me.
Right. I just always dress as a crossing guard.
No, no. You actually are a crossing guard. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's yes. It's
I thought you were doing motorcycle construction. Is what you were doing.
It does look like it. Looks like I should be carrying
Earth, Wind, and Fire is just opening for Lionel?
I will bet they are co-headliners, and they go back and forth. I don't think it's one person opening, and then the other one comes back out. I'll bet you they'll trade back and forth.
Was Lionel in a band before he went?
Commodores.
Yeah, the Commodores.
Okay, I was confusing Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Commodores then.
Why would you?
Whoa.
Because I'm
dumb.
That's
interesting.
I'm stupid.
What's interesting? All those bands look the same to you, do they?
They all sound the same.
Whoa.
Gosh.
That's...
Let's dig down on this one.
I've dug far enough.
I rebuke you in the name of Jodeci.
What other bands look the same to you, Dave? Bands do you mistake for Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I always confuse Parliament and Funkadelic.
It's the same band.
It's the same thing.
Not to mention...
You always confuse Earth, Wind, and Fire and
the Netherlands
Miles Davis.
And the Dutch. I always get them
Living Color.
No, I'm not that dumb.
What? Danny Glover and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Greg Fields and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay. Chief. Leave Greg Fields out of this.
Breaking news, LeVar Ball and his wife Tina have separated after nearly 30 years.
Oh.
So LeVar Ball was on Neon's live stream and he said, you know, my wife Tina decided to go her own way. That's why you don't see her right here. She wanted to go do something else. That's fine with me. We had our run.
Jeez.
So even though she had the stroke and getting older, she would never be like, oh man, she was always beautiful in my eyes until you say I want to go do something else. And he also added that he's dating.
So he's saying she was beautiful even when she was stroked out?
Yeah.
Is that a medical term?
And he also said that he was
heard David use it.
Dating someone new. He says, I found somebody else, but it is what it is. And then
this sounds like me. It sounds like you. No, it sounds to me.
It sounds exactly like me, man. This is what I do.
It sounds to me like he is.
I'm giving her warning.
Sending out like a response.
If
you think I'm breaking up with her because of the stroke, I want you to know.
Or if you think that I've been cheating on her with this woman that you're going to see me around town with.
Right.
She left me.
She wanted to do post-stroke activities.
He had his own medical. He has his own medical issues. Didn't he have a...
Yeah, so, okay. So, I'll give you the details on her and then him.
Okay.
So, in 2017... She suffered a stroke that left her with aphasia, which affects her verbal communication. And during
come on, man.
But just to be clear, that's not why.
So during her recovery, in an interview, LeVar said, as long as she can smile, give a kiss and a hug, I'm good.
Maybe a little hand.
That's probably why she had the stroke, so she can be quiet for a minute.
Is that what he said?
He was joking. But that he was trying to make light of the situation. And then in March of last year, he underwent several surgeries, including getting his right leg amputated due to diabetes.
Bob? At least Bob didn't laugh at that.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes I get LeVar Ball's right leg confused with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Jeez.
Does anybody else?
Because it probably was black.
When they hear the name Tina, what do you think of?
Tina Marie.
Free ticket Tina.
Free ticket Tina, yeah.
That's a good guess. I always think of the llama on Napoleon Dynamite, though.
Oh, yeah. When,
eat the food, Tina.
Come, Tina, your come food. Get your ham. Get your food.
So it's not the singer that did duets with Rick James? No?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's
what I think of. Oh, I'm the only one that thinks that way.
It's subjective.
Okay.
How's Rick James doing? We haven't heard from him in quite a while.
Well, he's dead.
How's Tina Yothers doing? Mm.
Yothers? She's
Yothers?
Dead.
Is she
Yothers?
Dead?
Yeah.
We lost her?
No, she isn't. Tina Yothers?
I thought she was dead.
You're thinking of Dana Plato.
Oh, okay. I get them confused.
Why are you confused in everything?
All white girls look the same to you.
It appears Tina is alive at age 53.
Well, good for her.
And she did softcore.
No.
I think so.
That was someone else.
Well, Dana Plato did too, but
I was there.
Was she in Playboy? Is that what she did?
No, I thought that she was in a movie. That was suggestive.
All right, moving on. It's a big year for Jay-Z.
Snatch?
Oh, well, Bob, I don't know what the name was. And
why do I burst out and say that?
So he's celebrating the 30th and 25th anniversaries of Reasonable Doubt and The Blueprint.
Yeah.
So next month he is having a three-night takeover of Yankee Stadium to honor those albums. And then he's also got a show in September in Paris and a show in L.A. in October. And now it's been announced that on HBO this fall, he is sitting down with none other than Rick Rubin for an 8-part documentary called Jay-Z and 8.
Why is everybody sitting down with Rick Rubin all the time?
I don't know, but don't that know. Sounds pretty awesome. I'm in.
Yeah, so
Rick Rubin's going to be all barefoot.
Definitely be barefoot. Yeah.
Got his stupid ostrich feet sticking out.
Little hobbit feet.
So he's directing the series, and will interview Jay-Z about his music, his lyrics, his life experiences, his creative process. And, of course, famously, Rick Rubin is the one who produced 99 Problems. And the video clip, I'm sure you've seen it, where they're talking about how to start the song.
Yep.
And Rick is just like, you need to start with
acapella.
The hook, acapella, and then boom. And then they play it, and Jay-Z's like, yes, that's it. So that'll be cool, I think.
He had the Rap Patrol on the Gat Patrol.
God, that was really white the way you said
Denny
that.
Denny Donovan.
He's got that there Rap Patrol
he's got
on
the
Gat Patrol.
The Gat Patrol.
He has 99
wonder
problems.
Wonder if he has a Gat.
But one of those bitches is not one.
I don't believe one of his problems is a bitch.
Do you think maybe the bitch is one of those there problems there?
I don't
think
so.
Bitch.
Oh,
jeez. Mickey Rourke is not doing
make sure
well.
The casket's closed.
That's been a headline for 20 years.
Yeah. So we had the story on E! News earlier this year when he was evicted from his home in L.A.
I get him and Mickey Rooney mixed up.
There's something to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Mickey Rivers.
So he was.
Not quite.
He owed $60,000 in back rent, and he was kicked out. He said that he was withholding the rent because there were rodent issues and plumbing issues, and it was an unlivable situation.
But he lived there.
And then there was a GoFundMe that was started for him, and then he refused the GoFundMe. And he said that he would rather stick a gun into his butt and pull the trigger than accept somebody else's charity.
Bob?
See, I would
rather... You made that threat many a
time. Well, I'd rather accept the charity than fire a gun.
You're always trying to do the butt gun trick.
Shoot a bullet from your anus through your temple.
Like, do you think, how far do you think it would get?
Hey, now.
That was the last words.
Well, he's been spotted on the streets of L.A. He was walking his three small dogs. He was wearing a gray hoodie pulled over his head so people wouldn't know it was him.
Wouldn't make fun of him.
But he had stains under his mouth and on his clothes, and he had no teeth.
Stains? Like what kind of stains?
Like food stains or blood stains or something. Had stains on his chin, stains on his shirt, and he had no teeth. Here, just like this.
Wow.
Vampire week.
Yeah, so I guess pray for Mickey Rourke. And lastly...
Eat your food, Tito.
Lastly, ASAP Rocky has
Bob's note found is just himself, way too long. Like a question. He's like, okay, get to it.
ASAP Rocky has found himself in trouble, mostly with Rihanna fans. He was performing on his Don't Be Dumb tour in Phoenix the other night, and he took a moment to address the crowd. He was looking at women on the front row, and he said, "Thank God y'all didn't know me when I was single, because I would have effed the S out of you."
Mm. Is that really yeah. that sexy of an act?
That if you, I mean, you do it so hard,
yeah,
that they lose
just
control of their
she
bowels.
Destroys the sheets.
I'd be pounding that.
Well, Bob.
Well, you have an ass for everything, Bob. Mm.
My ham is so showing off his entire Bob you know, catalog.
I want to hit that.
I don't remember all the details, but I do remember a college associate of mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Telling me a story, or a group of us, the story that he one night went chubby chasing.
Oh. And, so then I.
And he ended up hooking up with her in the back seat of his car. And then the next day, he noticed the streak on his upholstery.
Mm. Yeah, but why is that always
the go? Why are you laughing at that?
It's just, it's...
You hear that,
he
Bob?
He effed the S out of her.
Dude.
Why is that always the go-to, though?
Need some dude wipes.
When the fellas will say that. Man, I want to do that. It's like, no, you don't. That's not...
Not all fellas. That's Bob and...
No, it's and not his and Bob.
It's ASAP Bob and ASAP Rocky. Yeah.
Buy me a rubber.
Yeah, so well, Rihanna fans... One? Rihanna fans are saying that she should drop that zero.
Oh, he's just talking.
Yeah,
just
come
like
on.
Just like dudes will. That's
he's
just,
performing.
It's just
something.
Locker room talk.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just on stage in front
he's
of a, an entire
kicked.
Audience.
All right, coming up next, Gordon and book. Donnie are going to be with us to talk about America.
Who's this? 521. Boy, we weren't expecting this. We just didn't know if he could fit us in with all the journaling. But it is Thursday, and that means it is Rant Revival featuring the three horsemen of the rant. Corby Davidson on assignment. Gen X Davey Lane. And of course, without this man, it's none of it even happens. It's Gordon Keith. And it's brought to you by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Thank you, Eatsy's.
Donovan's here with us in place of Corby. Corby's World Cupping. And let's just be honest, this is a pop-up rant.
Yes, it is.
So this is
a surprise impromptu.
This one
rant.
Will be even less formatted than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
the
happy
ones are well planned.
But I'm happy you're here because
this is going to be a fucking disaster.
We did want to talk about a topic here, and I bet you your profound thoughts on things would be very useful here. And let's find out. Maybe you'll have nothing. But what we wanted to talk about in this segment before we knew we were ranting was the World Cup from a wholesome, I don't know, there's something about this
Wait,
event.
Wait, you had this planned out?
Yes. It's going to get better.
Okay.
Yep.
I love the World Cup. I love soccer. I love the event.
Just let him go.
But
let
what
him
I cook. What I'm really enjoying about this World Cup is all of the non-Americans coming to our land.
Yeah, and seeing their reaction to America.
It's making me so happy, almost from a faith in humanity sort of standpoint. Because sometimes in these modern times, things can feel a little bleak, and then. You know, outside our country, lots of people are sort of dunking on us all over the world. And those people may be in media positions where they have great influence and are sort of telling people who've never been to America, the World Cup's going to be awful. Going to that country right now, you don't want to be there. It's awful. This is going on. And it's not all Hollywood and good times and all this sort of thing. And I actually have really, really felt the joy of seeing so many people who've never been to our country, seeing really things that are blowing their minds to a point where they are having such a great time. And I do feel like this reaffirms the value of travel in all of our lives to actually cut through the noise of nonsense, propaganda, media. We're in the media. We kind of know media is probably net negative overall in terms of influence. And I think reality has smiled on the American experience during this time.
I think it's twofold. I do think on the one hand, you have people from around the world visiting the U.S. and only knowing the U.S. from movies and then being blown away when it is kind of just like the movies in their mind. And they're, you know, the excesses of America or portion sizes or size of Bucky's gas stations and all that stuff. But I also think the other side of it is how we've been such great and gracious hosts that everyone who is not from here talks about how friendly everyone is and how everyone wants to talk to them and hear their story and wants to be generous with their time and buy them drinks or buy them lunch or make sure that they get a ride where they're going. And it's heartwarming that, like you said, when we hear the narratives like everybody hates each other and everybody is tunnel vision and only cares about themselves, we realize that everyone is still just human and cool at their core, at least most people.
The ugly American label, which may live specifically on social media as somebody is caroning their way through some incident or I don't know, just all the things that we are portrayed with our very, very worst moments. And I think it's awesome that people can come here and realize that we don't do school shootings every day.
Right.
Something like that.
We don't schedule them.
We don't all carry guns to work.
Right.
We don't actually shoot at each other.
It seems like Europeans...
We bring chips to your table.
And elsewhere. People from around the world, they thought they were going to come here and it was going to be dodging bullets all hours of the day. And that it was just going to be a bunch of fat Americans yelling at them to go home.
Yes.
And that's not what they found. And I don't know. I also sometimes question, is this just a feel-good story that has been amplified algorithmically, too? Like, is this really the overall impression that Europeans have had, or just the ones that all of us Americans are being fed in our
feed? Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I don't know what the lasting impact is, and I don't know how many people are influenced one way or another, but I
hope it's true, and I hope it has a lasting impact, because it did seem to open a lot of people's eyes to the fact that you can't believe everything you've always heard.
No, you can't, but I will say, when we host an event like this, I was really hoping that we all behaved ourselves really well. Not to say I don't believe in my fellow American.
Well, and let's not jinx it because we're not even halfway done.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, things like security, things like bad things happening at big gatherings, just...
Right. They're soft targets.
I feel very happy that there's been nothing but reports of happiness for people who both domestically want to see this event, but also, and maybe more importantly, internationally want to see what America is all about. I love that. And maybe the best example is just flipping it around. And I said this a week ago, Gordon, but surely you did not hear it, which is...
I heard about it.
When I was at the Japan match, I was surrounded by...
By what?
Japanese people.
Wow. You mean Asian Americans.
Who are back in our city for tonight's match.
They're not American.
They're literally from Japan. And I had the time of my life.
Japanese.
And I actually went to the match.
Full-blown.
Dude.
It just solid, full-blown Japanese.
I went to the match anticipating being a T-shirt Dutch that day because one of my favorite players plays for the Netherlands. Okay, so I bought an orange shirt and I was there with the Orange Army. And in my section, though, it was all Japanese fans. Almost completely. You don't have to lower the music.
Why? Well, I think we have some opportunities brewing.
Japanese people enjoy music as well. And I just want to say that as I'm sitting there, I am thinking to myself how my grandfather portrayed their culture. And how
was it not nice?
Many of Americans' grandfathers portrayed their culture because, as opposed to international travel back then, they were busy doing World War stuff.
See, my grandfather was always very kind and nice about them.
They did war tourism.
They were all
enjoyed mangas, and they
were all sort of Bill Parcells ish. And I was delighted by my new Japanese friends to a point where I feel like, at this point, as I turn 54 tomorrow, I haven't been to Asia. And I feel compelled to go see what all that is about.
What the Japanese are up to? Make sure that they're not planning something else?
No, I don't want to check on them. I want to visit them, Gordon.
Snoop around, see if they've got any sneak attack plans.
Come make a report.
I just think travel, if the generations before us, and of course it helps that travel has become so much easier and more affordable over the years, and it really wasn't something even my parents would think about, is what country should we visit? I don't think they visited countries. I think they went to Canada because they could drive there, and I think that's the one country they have visited in their life, and they're totally fine with it. Like, they have zero desire to go see other countries. Whereas our generation, for whatever reason, it's like, man, let's go see what's over here. Let's go see what's over here. And I think that is, even though I can't prove it, I think that's really helped a lot of us understand that, as you said, people are people.
Right. But why is it the World Cup, though? Because the Olympics, it feels like it just doesn't have that same effect. And it's other countries visiting, going to a sporting event, supporting their country full force. But you don't hear or see anything like that going on at the Olympics than you do at the World Cup.
It's splintered over so many different events that the national pride isn't concentrated in one area at one
event. Well, they're all over this country. It's not like
but Argentina is all here right now. Japan is all here right now.
He's saying logistically, if everybody from the world tried to meet in Cleveland for 3 weeks, like everything, hotels, restaurants, roadways, everything would be a beating.
Right.
We've spread it out, and so different parts of the world are visiting different parts of North America, and it logistically works. I would love to have gone to Milan for the Winter Olympics, but you just think to yourself, this is impossible. I wouldn't get tickets to what I want to see because it's one arena of 20,000. They have sold, today, the World Cup breaks its all-time attendance record.
And I just found that out.
And we haven't even started the World Cup.
Yeah, we're like not the, even knockout, to the round, knockout round.
The knockout round starts Sunday, and that's when it really gets going. They're going to go like past 5 million. So 5 million tickets have been available. That feels like if you wanted to attend it, you could probably find 2 or 4
but
for
people,
you.
But people aren't going to get as fired up about downhill skiing as they are about their national soccer team. So I know that the Olympics are meant to be this global moment, but they don't have the level of passion that the World Cup does, or because maybe it's so focused.
And I think because we're so not focused on soccer the way they are.
Yeah.
It's the world sport. We don't understand
their view of it.
Right.
But just seeing people visit our city, go to baseball games, go to barbecue, go to the rodeo, go to
just marvel at the stadiums themselves.
My daughter is sending me influencers from all over the world. There's a Japanese dude named Bob, or that's his handle. I doubt he's really named Bob.
Why are you doubting it?
But he was at the village today looking at those pools that we've had like at summer chill, and he's just, he can't believe there's an apartment village in Dallas that just has all these swimming pools with like bars and restaurants attached to them. Like, it's blowing his mind. And I love that. I love that Buc-ee's is blowing people's minds.
Dunking on the rest of the world.
No, not dunking on the rest of the world, but sort of showing them we've cleaned up our house, put our best foot forward. Please be our guest for this month or so. Then leave. But please be our guest for a while and see that we're not all trying to shoot you.
Well, it's like the opposite. When Americans travel the world, when we're going to Europe or we're going to Asia or even going to Mexico, when going, checking out the Mayan ruins or whatever. It's like, we want to see history. We want to see the origins of civilization. We want to see all these beautiful buildings and art and all that stuff. But then when they come here, they want to see new and big and over the top, because that's what we are. And they're seeking a different experience than what we seek when we go.
Yes, because over there they have buildings that are 1,500 years old. And over here, old to us means it's 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
And so they want to see what crazy water park we've come up with.
And their grocery stores are 800 square feet.
Right.
And then they walk into a Costco.
You can have all the ice you want at this ice machine? What is this country? I just think it's great. I feel like it's heartwarming.
Do you think Bucky's is very similar to the European gas station?
No, I don't. Tesco? I think it's, yeah. I think it's insane. Two pumps. As an American, let me say, when I go to Bucky's, it feels like I'm in a foreign land. Yeah. That makes no sense
well,
to me.
Well, and it should, and it at least it does me. It gives you a renewed sense of national pride.
Like, yes.
We are kick ass.
We're a great people. We're a great country, and it's okay to say it.
We are.
So why don't you stand at the national anthem when you're at home?
Yeah.
And here's another thing.
I will tonight.
Why do you kneel?
So Dave's right. It makes you feel great about America, but it also makes you feel great about the next trip you want to go see another culture and just sort of, it's okay. We are the world. It's okay to feel good about going to experience what's over there and brighten your brain about it isn't what your grandpa told you necessarily. He had his reasons. I'm not saying grandpa didn't have good reasons.
What did your grandpa say? It obviously made a big impact.
I believe he'll tell you off the air.
I believe he learned most of his Japanese leanings from the Pacific Theater. And I appreciate his service.
How many
and
screens
all.
Do they have?
The Pacific Theater was not a Cinemark. It was actually a region of war, and it was very unpleasant. And Grandpa, like
I
said,
the wind. That's Theater 3.
Oh, I love this Pacific Theater.
What letter was
everything's IMAX?
What
here.
Letter was the word that your grandpa would use to refer to Japanese? What did it start with?
Not Grandpa. I don't think Grandpa engaged.
Did he ever complete the word Japanese?
I don't think he engaged in slurs. Maybe abbreviations, but not slurs.
I mean, they would.
He was just saving time.
They would abbreviate it in newspaper headlines.
I mean, we do it all the time now. So what's the problem?
Yeah, Bob.
God bless Grandpa. All right. Thanks, Gordon. Unless you want
to
hang out.
You're welcome to stay, because next is Donnie's segment.
Okay,
all right. We're going to Do World.
All right.
Where we do all the time. Next.